Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
That's $4,000 a year. So to give you perspective, that means over the course of the 10 years, you would pay $40,000 off of this amount.
Okay. Which is not even made up for the interest.
Well, yeah, it's like, yeah, so you like, in 10 years time, you won't even have paid like the summer interest. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I just wanted to give a shout out for anyone who is interested in being a guest. It is completely anonymous, so we'll let you choose a fake name. And we will hide identifiable information so you can come on the show and share freely. It is a full hour to an hour and a half with me, Barbara, and we'll do a deep dive on your finances, where you're doing well, where maybe you're struggling, and come up with a game plan for how to reach your financial goals. To be a guest, you just need to put a submission in either on Instagram or on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com. And you just need to be a female. As we've said before, this podcast is produced with Amy, Alex, and myself, so an all-female team, and our goal is to help improve financial education amongst women, so that is why we interview women about their finances. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in being a guest, please put in a submission on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com, or send us a message on Instagram.
This is part 2 of a 2-part episode with Dr. Pepper Potts. If you have not listened to part 1 of this episode, please listen to part 1, which was released on June 27th. Thank you.
I do have my emergency fund. There's $14,117 in my emergency fund.
Okay, perfect. That's great. Okay, and is there anything else I should know? So we have the 403B from a former employer. You have an investment account of $69,000, an emergency fund of $14,000, and then you have credit card debt of $30,000, and then you have the principal amount that you borrowed, which we're going to do the public service loan forgiveness, and then you also have the total interest of $47,000 plus the $13,000. That's going to be so like $60,000 in interest between now and the grace period.
Correct. I will have some upcoming one-time expenses because in relation to having to reapply to the match cycle,
okay.
Which I've estimated to be about $4,000, and that'll be coming up this fall.
Okay. You call me crazy, but my thought is don't pay any of the interest on the loans because the goal would be to get them forgiven.
I'm just worried about – like the 7.4% fixed interest rate,
mm-hmm.
like on a higher principal from not paying it. Because then that would be a 7.4% interest starting in November on mm-hmm. a total of $524,900.
Yeah, but I think at some point you should ignore what the value is. So what would your payment be on the new number? Like if you do income based, which yeah. can
start the application for that now, to get on that now, like so that it's ready to go in the fall, or you have to wait? I don't know what the timing is when you apply to get an income base and then you apply for the public service.
No, I'm working on it now. And so actually the studentaid.gov website has a lot of really great tools. And so I was able to play around with different payment plans, with and without the public service loan forgiveness. And so if I stick with the income-based repayment plan with the public service loan forgiveness, then right now my monthly payment would be $378. Well, right now as in starting in November.
Starting in November would be 338.
Yeah.
And that's if you do not pay that extra interest. The reason why I don't think there's a point in paying the interest is because once this thing leaves its grace period, it is going to grow like a monster.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know what I'm saying? And so like $60,000 in interest is a little more than like 12% of the value. But by the time this thing is forgiven, it could be close to $1 million. Mm-hmm. So like, it's going to be a drop in the bucket, right? But it's going to materially change your net worth by doing it.
Okay.
I think we would have to like extrapolate out the numbers, but as long as you commit to public service loan forgiveness, because you're like, I'm going to do the residency, then I'm going to do a fellowship. And so I'm really not going to be making $550 or $750, even if you do 1 year at that and you have 1 year of really high payments, it'll be a drop in the bucket compared to actually paying this whole thing off yourself.
Okay.
Because like $338 with this income, and I don't know what your income will be over the next 10 years, but that's $4,000. That's $4,000 a year. So to give you perspective, that means over the course of the 10 years, you would pay $40,000 off of this amount.
Okay. Which is not even made up for the interest.
Well, yeah. It's like, yeah. So you like in 10 years time, you won't even have paid like the summer interest. Now that will change because as you noted, it is going to be a percentage of your income. So ideally throughout this process, you make more than 74. But even if that number doubled, even let's say that number went to $1,000 a month for you, right? As your income grows throughout this residency process, if you paid $1,000 a month for the whole time, the whole 10 years, that's $120,000. That's just double what the interest will be for the summer. Mm-hmm. So the reason that this program works so well is you're going to pay, it'll be based on your income. So you could end up paying of this with those monthly payments if your income goes up, but only if your income goes up. You could end up paying $150 off of it, but you could end up having $700,000 or $800,000 forgiven.
Okay.
Because it all qualifies, right? You check that both of your loans qualify. Okay.
Yeah, both my loans qualify. They totally satisfy that. I think the thing that's a little scary is because I'm currently in only a one-year contracted position.
Yeah, I could totally see it being really intimidating to do it. And then the default is to do the 60,000. You'll never get it back.
Yeah.
You know, and 60,000 is a lot of money. It could wipe out your credit card debt. It could help you convert the 403B if you decided to do that. You could even convert the 69 into a Roth each year, right? And move it from an individual account into a Roth account. So then you split the difference for your retirement and you say, we then still have to figure out how to pay off the credit card. But like if you said, I'm going to split the difference and I'm going to take that and pay off half of it and the other half with 15,000, I'm going to do a 0% APR card and I'm just going to be really diligent about, you know, $0 days and really cutting back and I'll be really miserable, but I'm going to pay that off myself over 18 months or something. And then use that brokerage account to fund a Roth every year. And then when you get to retirement, you have a good portion in Roth and you still have the 403B, which is like a traditional IRA going for you. You have both of those options in retirement.
Okay.
Because the nice thing about having that amount saved, so basically you have 83,000 between the emergency fund and the investment account, right? And then you have the 403B at 103, right? Mm-hmm. So between all that, you have almost 200,000. So even if we split the difference on the credit cards and that goes down to 185, right? Mm-hmm. Time is the most valuable thing with investments. So at 38, then at 48, you would have like round numbers here. I'm going to use a calculator. So that would double. So then that would be 370,000 at 48. And then, which is when you're going to finish your residency, right? We'll just say, or resident fellowship. So at 48. And then by just leaving that alone, that 370 will turn into 740, right? And then at 68, you have 1.4. And then you also have between 48 and 68 time to save more money for your retirement, mm-hmm. right? Because at that point, you have a very high income earning job. And then you can save money that way.
Okay.
Does that seem reasonable? I would say I wouldn't prioritize the Roth conversion. I think converting the brokerage account maybe into Roth would be your better option. Then you're not paying tax. And then you have both vehicles for later on in retirement. And most likely in retirement, you will, it depends where our brackets are, but you ideally, right, in retirement, you have a comfortable retirement and you're making somewhere around six figures in retirement. And that would be between 22 and 24%, right? Mm-hmm. So
that's reasonable. And I see your point in prioritizing getting the credit card debt down first over, you know, spending the money on bringing the outstanding interest balance down. Because even if I look at the interest rate comparatively, the credit card is still a much higher rate.
Yeah, they're so high. They're always so high. And you, so, okay, so you have between now and November, right, before your student loan payments start.
Correct.
So what I would do if I were you would be use now till then to try to tackle as much as you can on the credit cards, but like give yourself a helping hand. And I would use, I would say 15,000. Your investment account probably just started to recover from the market dip, I would say.
Oh my gosh, yes. That was so traumatic.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God. So I don't know. If I were you, I would see like you're going through a really intense phase where you're not going to have a lot of free time. So I'd almost say like see where your paycheck, I would maybe before you make a decision, see where your paycheck comes in. And then see like what can you live without and just like really go very strongly on paying these off before November and see how much damage you can do your own. And then whatever you can't get done, take out of the investment account. That will also give the investment account a little more time to hopefully get a bit higher because that would help you, right? If it jumped up a bit over the summer.
Yeah.
It could go either direction as we know because we just went through the dip. But I would do that and then I would get the remainder or see what the remainder is by November and make a lump sum payment on it then. And then the balance, you could always do a 0% APR card and then do the rest over that like 12, 18 month period.
Okay.
And then ultimately, once that's done, that should give you the bandwidth to get into the 401, 403B at work.
Okay. And then like working on moving that over?
No, working on like, oh, actually it won't. Never mind. For this position, sorry, I keep forgetting you're going to leave this position in a year. For this year, I would focus on being done with credit card debt and making as much progress between now and November.
Okay.
Making, seeing where your investment account is and making a lump sum on the investment account from the investment account on the credit card and then doing the rest on a 0% APR card until this contract ends. So by the end of this contract, ideally with a lump sum from your investment account, you're just about done.
Got it.
And you could see about doing the 0% balance transfer now, because then for 6 months, really focus on it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of doing for like when I was considering what to do with that like 30,000, was trying to find like a 0%er that I could balance transfer it over, over onto, and then paint it
that
way. Because
and then really focusing on it.
Crazy.
Yeah, because ideally you have, based on like my really rudimentary math here, I'm hoping you have between $500 and $600 extra a month. And I'm hoping maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's more, right? And then if you can go through and say, okay, I'm going to go through my subscriptions and really just live on a bare bones budget for 6 months and tackle this.
A lot of these numbers are based off of what was going on last year, which overall I would say I had higher expenses last year. So I expect to save even more than what your estimate is.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for because we're just guessing. But like if your take home is like closer to 4,500 and you can get your, you know, budget down to 3,500, right? Then ideally you're putting $1,000 a month on that, right? And if you can get an 18 month zero APR card, right? Mm-hmm. And you put, even if you throw $5,000 or $7,000 or $8,000 at it from your investment account, then that'll get rid of it. And then from there, what you could do is say, okay, with my investment account, maybe I'll take, you know, $3,000 a year and move it into a Roth. So then you have a traditional IRA, a brokerage account, and a Roth, right? And you're just funneling that down. And then until the credit card's paid, I wouldn't be saving anything. I'd be focusing on that because okay. I think that's the most important. And then once that's done, let's say you're doing $1,000 a month towards it, I would switch it and then do $500 a month towards a Roth or if there's a work plan available.
Got it. Perfect. Love it.
Yeah. I know it's scary with the student loans, but I just think your best option with the amount of student loan you have, which, you know, 4 years of medical school, I think your best option is to just stay in that. And you know, people from medical school, I would just check around and see where are those next residencies. And I would hope most of them would be a qualifying institution as a hospital.
Yeah. There is actually a lot of really good information. When I go back to researching the programs again for this upcoming match cycle, that will give information on whether or not these hospitals are qualifying institutions or not. Although, you know, I don't really have a ton of flexibility. Anybody who's familiar with the match system for doctors looking to secure residency will know that you don't really have. It's like this crazy algorithm, like computer program that they put together, and it's based off of like who ranked who in a priority system, and did that match, you know, the applicant's priority ranking, and it just does its thing, and you don't really have a lot of choice. You can make efforts towards and try to build relationships so that you set yourself up for matching at your ideal program, your ideal hospital location and setting and qualifying institution. But at the end of the day,
this is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
There's not a lot of control over it, I feel.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of my classmates and colleagues feel the same.
Yeah, that makes sense. You get a match and you're going to go where they tell you to go. This feels like a bit involved, but like, I don't, how many... For what you want to do, how many hospitals or like matches would there be? Like, is it possible to look them all up and say like,
Oh yeah. There's like a total of 160 something programs that I would be acceptable, applicant for. And so there's actually a whole website that, ranks all of the programs based off of different demographics and different criteria that the institution have. So that's what I'll be using to take a look at who qualifies for public service loan forgiveness. I'll probably prioritize those higher and then see what networking connections I have to be able to get a foot in the door at those programs. So if anybody has connections and wants to help out another applicant for orthopedic surgery, let's get more women in the field. Please help me out.
Yeah, well, if you would like to help Dr. Pepper Potts, just send us a message and we'll connect you. The other thing I was going to say is it feels like that would be like a great chat GPT question of like, here are the 120 school or, you know, matches I could have, like which ones qualify? Feels like you could like pop that in that AI software and it should be able to tell you
Probably it will.
Because then you would know ideally where you would be for the next 4 years. But I think no matter what happens, this is like, your best option to get the loans paid off is to be in this program.
I agree.
Because the other programs, the other ones are longer, right? And you'll end up spending a lot more. And that's fine too. Like, we have seen doctors who were going to maybe do private practice and they just basically amortized it. So they did more like a mortgage, like a 30-year repayment program privately. So it was an amortization schedule and it wasn't capitalized interest like you see with the student loans, because they can be a bit predatory.
I'm just asking ChatGPT now because I was curious.
Oh, really? Can the robot do that?
Yeah, I think the robot is thinking about it. But I'm using like the upgraded 4.0 because it was helpful in research. But no, I agree with you. The other repayment options are usually over the course of 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years.
Forgive the rest of it. And there's one that's like a fixed payment plan. There's one that they call a graduated payment plan.
Yes.
And those are a little tricky. I actually don't know who decides to go with those plans. Not, you know, not like undercutting anybody who has decided to go with those plans. But when you're looking at a principal balance that's as high as what I'm
yours
having to deal with, it can increase your payment every 2 years, if not
sooner. Yeah.
So that's scary. It's hard to budget, right?
Very hard to budget. And also there can be tax consequences for the 20-year payoff.
Okay.
With the forgiveness. I think it's like a bit more state dependent that there could be tax consequences. But when you're having that amount of debt forgiven, it'll depend on what state you're in, if there could be state consequences. Okay. So yeah. But, you know, if you have $750,000 forgiven and there is a state implication, because you won't choose where you end up, right? Like, it won't really be for you to stay with the medical profession. You'll be potentially moving around. Yeah, I just taught a class on it. And that's what we say. You have to just verify there's no state ramifications. If you don't do the public service loan forgiveness, if you do the income base and then it's forgiven after 20 or 25 years, you do have to verify there's no state implications for that.
Wow. Okay. That's good to know. I mean, either way, I think I don't really have, it wouldn't be a sound decision to go with anything other than the income.
No. And that's why I was like, this is the government's problem. I would not pay a penny more than you need to. And I would definitely keep your money and use that for your retirement and to assist with the credit cards. But I do think you could make a lot of progress if that went to a 0% APR card and you really buckled down for 6 to 12 months. I think you could get rid of that. And then you wouldn't have to really touch your investments as much. And I think that would be nice for you to have that buffer. Okay. And then you could use a little bit of it, not all of it, a little bit of it to, you know, fund a Roth. But I don't know that right now I would be doing the conversion.
Do you have any favorite 0% cards that you like right now?
I do not. I would just go, it'll be based on credit score and other factors. So I would go, and I think Credit Karma is a free site where you can go and see what you would be eligible for.
Great.
They will tell you, like, based on your information, what cards you would be eligible for. And I would just choose the one that gives you the most free time, like the most months at 0%. And then just make sure you auto set up, auto pay a minimum amount. Whatever minimum they tell you, you set that up on auto.
Yeah.
Because if you miss it, there will be a penalty APR.
Yep, exactly. And I have all of mine currently set up, and I always have had them on auto pay, which is great.
Okay.
It's just what I probably should
have. And what are you paying right now for the cards?
Let me take a quick peek. Just open up my app really quick. So on one credit card, the APR is 27.24. Yeah.
Okay. And then what's your monthly payment? Like, what are you paying on that?
My monthly payment on that is $247.
Okay. Yeah, I would tackle those, and then that'll give you the bandwidth to add in that student loan payment when it hits in November. And then here's what I would say about the Roth conversion. If there comes a time, I don't foresee this for you, but if there's your income goes down and the credit cards are paid off and you're doing good, your expenses go down, you could always do the Roth conversion then. You know it exists. But I think we have other priorities, and then we want to prioritize the most important. Or if there comes a period where maybe you take a gap year, then I would do it when you have no income.
I see. What type of like how big of an income drop would it have to be to drop the breath where you would recommend then doing the conversion?
So we want to have no credit card debt and where you have more breathing room in your budget. So let's say your next place is in Nebraska and your rent and utilities come in at $500 a month and your income is at $74,000, or we'll just say it's $80,000 and your total expenses for the month are $1,500, we'll say. We'll just use, and your credit cards are paid. Then you could consider doing it, right?
Okay.
Because then we have, you have bandwidth in your budget where it would make sense because you're making more and your expenses are lower. And I still think it would be, you'd want to weigh it out, like, or whether it makes more sense just to save more. But because that, even then, let's say next year you're in Nebraska and your income's 85, you would still be in a 22% federal bracket.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So what I like to do it, here's like the gold mine of doing it is like when you're in school and you have little to no income. So for instance, the standard deduction for a single person is 15,000. And let's say your income for the year was 6,000 for an internship, the standard deduction is 15. And then you're converting like 20,000 and you might end up paying like $1,000 for the conversion, if anything. That would make sense.
Okay. All right. I was thinking that I could do a fair amount of it this year and convert it because although my contract is for 74,000.
July. Okay. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I missed the ball on that. Really, so you just graduated.
Yeah. So really by the end of December.
You'll be at 35.
Exactly.
Yep. Sorry. Thank you for calling it out. I guess I needed more coffee this morning. Okay. So you'd be at, you'll be at 35,000.
Ish. A little bit over that.
Ish. A little over. We say 38 to be safe. Then your standard deduction is 15. So that puts you at 23,000 in income, which puts you really firmly in the 12% bracket. And so then that is at, it goes up to 48. So you could do, in theory, I would check with your account and you could do 25 and only pay 12% on it. I would do that. That would be worth it.
Perfect.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know how I missed that. Yeah, I would do that. I would run it by your account now. Say my income starting July 1st is going to be 74,000. I want to convert, run me the numbers on converting 25,000. And I would say just run 35,000 for the sake of it. Or maybe even say 20. I would love for you to do 50 because then 50 and 35 plus 85 minus 15 gets you down to 70. Have your account, they won't love this, say how much would I owe in taxes if I did a conversion of 25? Mm-hmm. And then I would say 40 and 50. 50 would be great because it'd be like half the account.
Yeah, for sure.
You could definitely probably do 25 and be like really safe. And then just take that out of your, you pay the taxes out of your investment account.
And pay the taxes out of the investment account. Okay.
Thank you for calling that out.
Yeah. I'll take any little bit of advice that I can get. I'll do any little moves to kind of get back square. You know, it was like a dream come true when I got accepted into medical school and I, you know, was leaving a career where I was making six figures. And so I had, you know, set up a lot of my investments and I had a lot of like working cash and liquid cash, mm-hmm. as you would call it. And I tried to not take like the full amount from the loans, but like, so yeah. So my classmates, a lot of them have an even higher principal that they're working with, believe it
or not. Wow.
Yeah. It's wild.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Do this right now because I feel like you're going to get busy July 1st. Mm-hmm. So, do this right now. This is your only window really.
Yeah. Okay.
So email the accountant now when you get off the podcast with me and say, I want to do a conversion. I'm starting my salaried position July 1st. This is what I'm going to make gross. And I would like to do a Roth conversion. And I would like you to tell me the tax implications federally and state, because you're going to have both potentially. Like New York State gives you a credit for the first 20. I don't know what New Jersey state policy is or state tax ramifications will be. Because you need to know where you live statewide, because you don't want to find out you file and he didn't know you were in New Jersey. He thought you were at your last location, right? So tell him where you are or her where you are, and then say 25, 35, and 50. What are the tax ramifications?
Okay.
And then you're splitting the difference, right? Like We're not doing converting all of it because that would be crazy from a tax standpoint, but we're converting some of it, which is better than none of it.
Okay. And then what would be like, how would I know what makes the most sense or not with...
You're going to see the numbers. The numbers could be materially different.
Well, right. But like, what would be like a ratio that you would feel comfortable with or recommend? Like at $50,000, if like the penalties are like 10,000.
No penalty. It won't be a penalty because you're going to be paying the tax out of your investment account, not out of that account. So it won't be a penalty. It'll just be taxes. But you'll see, it should be clear. So if he says for $25,000, your tax ramifications are, let me just give you the real numbers here. Your tax ramifications are $2,700. And then for 50, it's 8,000. Then obviously you're not going to do 50, right? Or not obviously. What you're paying is so much more. So I would say if you're paying somewhere between 10 and 15%, it would probably be worth it.
Okay.
Of the tax. Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah. 15% would be 7,500. I think that would be a worthwhile investment just because you most likely won't be back in the situation again.
That's what I'm thinking too. I'm like, you know, 8,000 seems like a lot or 7,500 seems like a lot like up front, but like knowing where the income trajectory is going to end up, it almost seems like a drop in the bucket.
Yes, but here's what I will say. I still am asking you to commit to the credit card. So it's like you're going to spend, that means you're spending more money on that strategy. So then you have less to probably put towards the credit card. It means you have to find that in your budget, you know, and so that might involve some sacrifice for 6 months.
Okay, I can do that. I'll probably be living at the hospital and eating the hospital anyways.
Yeah, okay, perfect. So do that.
Credit. I think I get $1,500 food credit every 6 months. So I think I get...
Oh, amazing. Right. So use that. Yeah. Getting the credit card paid off is going to change everything for you. Okay. So it's super priority, but I also want to recognize the fact that this is the only year you're probably going to only have $35,000 in income. So this is an opportunity, but it just stinks we have both at the same time. So it just means there's going to be just a bit of sacrifice on your part to do both.
Okay. Can do.
Okay. Amazing. Well, Dr. Pepper, thank you for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you so much for all of your great advice and for bringing me on. And thank you for everyone who is listening. Hopefully you got some good tidbits out of this.
Yeah, so anyone listening, if you're in school, it's a great time to convert. If you had a prior career, it's a good time to convert your IRA monies into Roth when you have little to no income.
Totally agree. I wish I kind of had this resource earlier on, but you know, we live, we learn, and then we pass it on.
Exactly. And so now you have half a year. You're right. Half a year of income is a great thing to take advantage of.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me on, and I appreciate your time.
Yeah, you're welcome. And so for all of our lovely listeners, you can follow along on Instagram at Future Rich Podcast. And if you'd like to be a guest, we have a couple more slots left. We'll be recording this summer. And you can apply to be a guest at www.futurerichpodcast.com or send us a message on Instagram. Alex, Amy, and myself all check that. So one of us will respond. And if you like the podcast, we would greatly appreciate you sharing it with a friend, just one friend, and subscribing. Thanks. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent.
Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.